Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Isaiah, the 59th chapter. I believe light, and you got to take this right, but light likes the darkness. See, how does the world does light like the darkness? Because then it has something to light up. If there's no darkness, then light has nothing to light up. So when the darkness comes, light looks at it as an opportunity. Light looks at darkness as an opportunity to shine bright. Hallelujah. To bring light where there is no light. Darkness is just an opportunity for the light to shine bright. Can you say amen? And Jesus said, you are the light of this world. You're the light of the world. He also said, you're the salt of the earth. See, again, you are that standard. That standard of his in this world. Notice Isaiah 59. In verse 19, it says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Oh, I like that. When the enemy comes in like a flash flood. Have we heard of any flash flood warnings lately? I mean, that little alarm on my phone, you know, I've got this app, weather app on my phone, and I mean, that thing's just constantly. I mean, these last several weeks, I mean, it's just constantly. Whamp, whamp, whamp. Flash flood warning. Flash flood warning. Well, you know, the enemy, he comes in like a flood. He comes in like a flood, but the Bible says when he comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The Lord will come, the Spirit of the Lord will come and lift up a standard against him. God has a standard that is too high for the devil to get over. A standard that is too deep for the devil to get under. A standard too wide for the devil to get around. A standard too solid for the devil to get through. God has a standard that will plug up every raging flood of the devil. Whatever the devil would try to bring in, the Lord has a standard that is sufficient enough to keep him at bay. To keep him from getting in and destroying just anywhere he wants to go. In fact, the Bible says the devil, like a roaring lion, goes about seeking who he may devour. He can't just devour anyone. He's looking for an opening. He's looking for a way in. He's looking for a way around God's standard. Thank God we have God's standard. We've got the standard of his word, which makes us a standard when we stand upon his word. When you stand upon the word of God, the standard of God, you become a living standard in your world, in your sphere of influence. You become a wall that cannot be penetrated. You become something that the devil just can't get around. He can't get in. He can't penetrate. God's word cannot be penetrated. Come on. God's word is the most powerful thing in this world, and he's given it to you and I. He has put it in our hearts as we have received it and do receive it by faith. So therefore, we are solid. We are high. We are wide. We are a deep people. Praise God. We are a mighty fortress in this world, a defense for those who are lost, for those who don't know the truth. We are the salt. We are the preservative. We are the protection of this world. Though we are in it, we are not of it. We're not living for this place. We are living for heaven. We're just passing through here. We're just pilgrims passing through here. We're just on a journey. We're just visitors. We're just ambassadors from another nation, from another world. Hallelujah. Ambassadors for Christ. That's who we are. And so because of that, people have safety under us, with us. And you got to see yourself as a safe place. Because Jesus is a safe place. And Jesus is in you. His very name is a strong tower. And the righteous run into it and they are safe. Hallelujah. Amen. His name is a strong tower. Do you have his name? Do you bear his name? Do you speak his name? Glory to God. Thank God for the name of Jesus. It's a no wonder that the devil works so hard to try to intimidate and try to stop the church from speaking that name. It goes all the way back to the book of Acts. The early church. I mean, God was using them mightily to turn the world upside down, bring great change into people's lives. It was changing the landscape of the earth. And so these religious leaders rose up and said, now, we forbid you to do anything in that name, to speak that name. They wanted to intimidate the disciples from speaking the name of Jesus, because the devil knows it's a strong tower. He knows it's a mighty fortress. He knows he's got to remove the name from the lips of men if he's going to be able to come in like a flood and sweep men away. If he's going to sweep people away into darkness, into death, into hell, he's got to remove the name of Jesus from their lips. All the more reason for you and I to lift up the name of Jesus. You know, we ought to get a clue by now. Whatever the world is attacking, whatever the world is demonizing, whatever the world is condemning, we ought to pay more attention to it. Because more than likely, it's the very thing that the godless, that the devil fears. The very thing they're attacking is the very thing we should be paying close attention to. Because those that have yielded themselves to the devil are always going to be going against the ways of God. They're always going to be doing things contrary to God. So if they attack you, that just means they're afraid of you. Jesus said, woe to you if the world loves you and they say all kinds of great things about you. I mean, when the world starts liking you, he said, that's when you need to pay attention to. That's when you need to check up on yourself. But if they're attacking you, if they're demonized, vilifying you, trying to condemn you, trying to remove you, destroy you, intimidate you, then you're probably doing the right thing. You're probably doing the right thing. So get excited about persecution. I don't think we've seen enough of it, which is a testimony of perhaps we're not doing a good enough job. Because those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, they shall suffer persecution. So maybe the church just isn't living godly enough. Huh? And maybe it's because of that intimidation. But friend, we need to step it up so that God can lift us up and make up a hedge between us and the devil, between the living and the dead. God wants us to make up a hedge. He wants us to be that standard. But we're going to have to stand up for his word. Stand up for the truth. Stand up. Speak up. Don't let the devil intimidate you. Come on, somebody. This nation was built on the principles of God's word. Not just the principles, but a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what the founding fathers of this nation were all about, man. And they put God on everything. They put God, we trust, on the currency. They got it all over the White House. They got it in the courthouses. They got it everywhere. And that's why we've been such a blessed nation. One nation under God. Blessed. I got news for you. The devil has always been trying to spoo his flood out against America. You say, why hasn't he had the kind of success to flood America like he has with other nations? Because of the standard. Because of the standard. There's a standard too high for him. There's a standard too deep for him. There's a standard too wide for him. Come on. Whenever the enemy tries to come in, up comes that standard. God's people. God's people. Boldly speaking the word. Boldly declaring the truth. Boldly declaring, it is written. It is written. Not just declaring it, but living it. Being a doer of the word, not just a hearer and a speaker of it. But a doer of that word. And the devil came against Jesus, tried to sweep him away in ungodliness like he has so many. Jesus just said, it is written. He held up the standard. Jesus spoke the word of God, and it was sufficient enough to dry up the flood of the devil. No matter how deep and how raging is the flood of the devil, the word of God is sufficient enough to dry it up at your feet. I mean, it comes in like a tsunami. You could just stand there against it. It is written. Just dry right up. It just dry right up at your feet. You know, you see an illustration of it over in the book of Revelation. Revelation 12 again. Revelation, the 12th chapter. It says in verse 1, now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 diamonds on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. This is Israel about to give birth to the Messiah, to the Christ, to Jesus. Verse 5, and she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Jesus was resurrected. He rose from the dead victorious. The dragon couldn't keep him down. Hallelujah. Verse 6. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. That was at the resurrection of Jesus. When Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible says he disarmed principalities and powers. He defeated the rulers of darkness. He triumphed over them, making a public spectacle of them. And that's this victory that took place right here. Jesus rose from the dead. There was a great war that broke out in the heavenly realm. And Satan lost his authority over death, hell, and the grave. He lost his grip over humanity because Jesus came and stripped him of it. Satan, through Adam, had a voice in heaven to accuse mankind. But Jesus came and stripped him of that voice, kicked the accuser out of heaven, and sat down as our defense attorney, sat down as our advocate. Under the old covenant, in Old Testament times, up there before the Lord, they had an accuser representing mankind. But now under the new covenant, New Testament times, we've got an attorney representing us. Hallelujah. Amen. And notice this. It says in verse 9, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. See, this isn't something that's going to happen in the future. The book of Revelation isn't all about the future. The book of Revelation covers the past, the present, and the future. It covers it all because Jesus himself covers it all. We see that over in Revelation chapter 1. Hold your place there in 12. Jesus said that he was the first. Notice this in verse 11, chapter 1, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches. Notice that. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the first, he's the last, and he is everything in between. That's who he is. And the book of Revelation is a testimony of Jesus Christ. So you're going to see things from the past, you're going to see things concerning the present, and you're going to see things concerning the future as you go through the book of Revelation. You need to understand that in order to understand this book, get revelation from it. So verse 11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the deaths, to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for that devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows he has a short time. Now, notice this. He says, rejoice, O heavens. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. What do you identify with more? Heaven, where the Bible says you are seated in Christ Jesus, or the earth? Are you just thinking about inhabiting the earth? If all you're thinking about is the earth and earthly things, woe to you. The devil's on a rampage. Woe to you. If you're just being carnally minded, if you're just living life in the flesh, if you're just living according to your senses, he says, woe to you. But rejoice, O heavens. Hallelujah. Well, that's how we started things off this morning. Talking about heaven. Rejoicing that our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. That we have all eternity to enjoy. And that this life is but a vapor. Ooh, hallelujah. We rejoice with those who rejoice in heaven, because that's who we're hooked up with. That's who we're connected with. Come on, that's who we've been bonded to through the blood of the Lord Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. The blood of the Lamb has bonded us to God, bonded us to those who are in heaven. And we're living with our minds set on things above and not on the things of this earth. So it's not woe to you and I. It's not woe to you and I. If we're living out of our place in heaven, we got authority over the dragon. I said we got authority over the devil. We got authority over Satan. So that no matter what he's doing out here on the earth, we can just laugh. Just continue to rejoice. Hallelujah. Amen. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath. Notice verse 13. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Who's that? It's Israel, right? Israel gave birth to the child Jesus, right? It was out of Israel that Jesus came. It was from the Jewish people. And so he went after them. He attacked them. I mean, 70 years after Jesus. 70 AD. Romans came in there and destroyed Jerusalem. And the nation Israel ceased being a nation. That wasn't just the Roman government. That was the dragon. That was the work of the devil. We got the behind scoop on what's really going on in life. It wasn't just the Roman government came in a rage. No, it was this dragon. He came in to attack the woman that gave birth to this child, gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14, but the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time, a times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. I like that. Now he's a serpent. He went from the dragon to the serpent. Now picture a dragon, right? He's got the arms, he's got the legs, he's got the wings, fire. But if you cut off his arms, and you cut off his legs, and you strip him of his wings, what does he look like? He's just a snake. He started out as a dragon. But after Jesus came, come on, my people. When Jesus came, he stripped him of his arms. He stripped him of his legs. He cut off his wings and put him under our feet. Come on. Now he's just a snake. A mouse-eating snake. Hallelujah. Now woe to you if you're a mouse. Woe to that congregation of mice. The snake is loose. But for you and I, he's under our feet. Come on. He's under our feet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory and honor to the King. I just had to have a fit. Just for a moment. So notice verse 14. The woman was given two wings of a great eagle. Isn't it interesting that the symbol for America has been the eagle? And we've been the greatest nation really that ever has been. And we've been raised up by God. It's through faith in him that this nation has come into existence. And we've been a refuge to the woman. We've been a source of protection. Come on. To Israel. God has raised us up for that purpose. We're here to protect them, to guard them. And it's right here in the Word of God. Verse 15, so the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood. How does the enemy come in? Isaiah 59? Like a flood. And when he comes in, what happens? The Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. I mean, you think of Adolf Hitler and the Nazis and how they tried so desperately to destroy the Jewish people. It wasn't about Hitler. It wasn't about the Nazis. It was about the devil and his demons. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Don't just look at natural history. Get the spiritual side of history. Get your mind renewed to the spiritual side of what's going on in the world. What has gone on in the world. The enemy came in like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman. The earth helped the woman. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman. And he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's you and I. We are of the seed of Abraham. We are offspring spiritually from Israel. We are Jewish. If you're not Jewish naturally, you are Jewish spiritually. If you are a born again child of God living by faith, Abraham is your father. That's what the Bible tells us. So the enemy would try to come against the church, try to attack the church. So it was first attacking the Jewish people and then attacking those who have the testimony of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the church there. But notice that the enemy comes in like a flood, and here the earth just opened up. Like, earth is talking about something that's here in this world that God has used to stop the enemy, to dry up his flood. And I believe America, not just the nation, but the God-fearing believers that have dwelt in this nation, they have been that standard in the earth that has helped to swallow up the flood of the devil, not only protecting our nation, but protecting Israel and other nations. We've been salt to the world. We've been a light to the world. I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ. And the only way the devil can stop it is he's got to get us to drop the standard. He's got to get the church to drop the standard. Stop speaking that name. Now, if you want to reference God at the graduation, that's fine. But you don't speak the name of Jesus, because we don't want to exclude other religions. You could say anything you want about God, but don't speak that name at this event publicly, trying to remove the name of Jesus. And you know what? The devil has had a lot of success at causing people to lower the name of Jesus in America. The church has surrendered, for the most part, the name of Jesus. How about the Word of God? Oh, you can't bring that to school. Don't bring that into a public school. I mean, when we first started the church, you know, we started in a conference room over at a racquetball club. And so, you know, we would come in, people were carrying their rackets. I'd be carrying my Bible. And they didn't feel funny carrying their racket on Sunday morning, not even got anywhere in their thoughts. But when I walked in with my Bible, what is that? I mean, you thought I was carrying an Uzi. You know, you thought I was walking down the hall like Rambo. Now I've got all the ammo. That's BC, guys. I haven't watched it lately. I'm having lots of flashbacks this morning. But it's the Holy Ghost, so it's okay. I mean, it's like you started seeing the power of that Bible. They'd look, it would almost scare people as you walk with that Bible. Don't be ashamed of your Bible. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of it. Shout, I'm not ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the Bible. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Read it in public. I was on an airplane one time, and this woman pulled out this book that was thicker than my Amplified Bible. Had some half-naked dressed woman on the front cover, you know, a drawing, you know, hair blowing in the wind, and some kind of, you could tell it was some kind of perverse novel, you know. She was just glued to it. She wasn't worried about trying to read through it in a year. She didn't have to get on a year plan to read. She was going to read that thing through before she did. This trip was over. She's just digging into it. The church, we got to give them all kinds of incentives. Now, if you read 2 chapters of Proverbs and 1 psalm, you might make it through. This little perverted granny, if I can say it plainly, this little perverted granny sitting there, but no, he didn't think twice about it. I mean, his granny. She's got grandchildren, for crying out loud. What in the world are you reading? Nobody even thinking twice about it. Nobody even thinking twice about it. You can see nobody as I am. I'm looking on. But nobody else is, you know. And then I reach down there. I take out my Bible. Oh. People get nervous around you on the plane. People take note of that. Because it's powerful. It's powerful. And we're not going to be ashamed of it. Lift up the word of God. Amen. And thank God for the commandments. The great commandments that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai. Written by the very finger of God. Wow. That's been a standard in America. We've had it in our courthouses. It's been in places as a monument for people to take note of. This is why this nation is great. This is why this nation is blessed. This is why you can't touch us, devil. Because of these commandments right here. And the devil knows it. So he says, get rid of those commandments. And so now they've dragged the commandments out of the courthouses, and they're taking them away from being monuments for people to see at different places throughout our nation, removing the standard. There's only one thing left when you remove the standard, and that's floods. Flooding. How many of you know the world experienced a flood a few thousand years ago? That was a big flood that came. Remember that? Thank God, God saved Noah and his household. Glory to God. Gave them a plan. They built an ark, and he preserved humanity through Noah's family. And then he set up the rainbow as a standard, as a symbol of protection, that the waters would never again flood the earth. So the devil, seeing this standard, has got to figure out a way to desecrate it, demoralize it, bring it down, because he can't get through it. He can't get around it. He can't get over it. He's got to get us to surrender it and cast it away. Diminish it. And he's doing just that in America. And the floodwaters are rising. The enemy is getting place in our nation like he has never gotten place before. But as for me and my house, come on, no evil will befall you, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling, though the waters are raging all around us. Bless God, that standard still works. And though the whole nation surrender it, bless God, you and I can raise it up. And that strong tower, praise God, will hold its ground in the midst of a raging hell. Amen. Ooh, glory to God. Aren't you glad that you got the standard? Friend, be bold. Be bold. It was that standard that preserved us from the very beginning, and it's that standard that's going to make it, help us to make it through these times that we're in right now. If you're wondering, why was the devil able to do this? Why was he able to kill all those people? Why did that whole city be destroyed in one day? Why this? Why did those buildings come down? Why this? Why that? I don't know. Is it the judgment of God? Is it what? I don't know. Is God doing it? Is the devil doing it? Well, God don't do it. What? That's what the people, that's what much of the church world sounded like after 9/11, 2001. They were just all, nobody knew what was going on. It's really very simple. We're in a cursed earth. There's a devil on the loose. He comes in like a flood. If you don't have a standard, you're going to get washed away. lives will be destroyed. People will be destroyed. Come on. It's just going to happen if the standard comes down. So we see Satan prospering more and more and more. We understand what the problem is. The national standard of Jesus Christ is coming down. But thank God you and I as individuals can get our salt saltier and get our light brighter. Come on. By getting bolder. Come on, we got to restore respect to the standard. We got to restore honor to the word of God and try to help others. Get your standard up. Get your standard up. Lift it up. Nobody's guaranteed tomorrow, man, without the standard. Anybody can be swept away if you're just out there doing your own thing, just living for yourself. Anybody could get swept away. But thank God we're not just anybody. We're in him. Come on. We talk it. We talk the talk and we walk the walk. We are Bible toting, scripture quoting, Holy Ghost tongue talking. We do it all. And we just keep the devil scared. And it's not popular. And the devil's going to try to vilify it. Make us out to appear to be people that are crazy and out of touch. And try to intimidate us. All because he knows he can't do nothing while that standard is up. He can't do nothing. He can roar. He can rage. That's a pretty scary thing, you know, from a natural standpoint. If you're standing there, all of a sudden, you know, the dam breaks. And the flood starts coming towards you. And you look and you see this big flood coming in. It takes some faith to stand there and say, thus far, no further. It takes some faith to know that you're in something unseen that cannot be penetrated. Right? Man, it takes some serious faith. That's where you and I are. That's what we're developing here this morning and throughout our days. We're developing a faith in this unseen force, this unseen power, this unseen God. And we know that in him we are safe and we are very secure. Hallelujah. Amen. Even look a little cocky sometimes. But we're not. We're just trusting. Trusting in Christ. Trusting in the greater one. Hallelujah. We know he is our shield. And he quenches every fiery dart. He dries up every flood of the devil. And no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. Hallelujah. Amen. He didn't say no weapons will be formed against you, but he did say they will not prosper. Hallelujah. So don't be afraid if you know it's not going to hurt you. You can stand in front of it like Superman. Right? Some guy pulls out a gun. I like that with Clark Kent, you know. He acts real spastic. Right? He acts like he's like, BC again. Man, I'm having flashbacks bad. And so, you know, Clark Kent's standing there. And the guy shoots a bullet. And he catches the bullet, puts it in his pocket. And he falls down on the ground and acts like he fainted because the gun went off. How do you remember that? Stay away from that stuff. The point is, J-E-S-U-S. Da-da-da. Come on. I'm ready to go. But it's needful that I stay for you. I could go, but I'm going to stay for you. Come on, we are the superheroes. Are we not? Yes. Come on. We could jump in front of that bullet. No weapon formed against me. Brother. Hallelujah. Laugh in the face of calamity. Laugh in the face of disaster. And no blessing. We know exactly why this stuff's happening. And we're not going to sit here and just cry and moan and groan and that everything's going on around us. No, we're just going to recognize these things happen when people drop the standard. But bless God, we're going to keep raising it. Hallelujah. And we know, number one, our house is secure, but we're not just concerned about our house being secure. We're going to be a security system to this region and to this nation. And through television, internet, and however else, we're going to be a security system to other nations. Come on, somebody. We are God's security system in this world. Bless God forever. So be wired and fired and let your alarm scream loud. And don't be ashamed of the alarm. We just put an alarm system in the church here, and they put sirens inside the building to drive the crook crazy. They put the sirens in the building so if the crook, you know, the crook breaks in, wah! It's going to be hard to steal stuff, you know. You're going to sit there and, you know, unscrew these TVs up here. Ah, you got a siren screaming in your ear. It's tough to do, right? It's tough for the devil to steal from us or anyone else when we are like a siren screaming the word of God, speaking the word of God. We just go, it is written. We just say, it is written. That's what it sounds like to the devil. Isn't that good? It's true. It's not just cute. It's really good. I mean, it's true. You need to drive the devil crazy. If the devil is breaking in your house, and you say, every day he's stealing peace from my home. He's stealing. It's time to speak the word. And you don't have to be loud about it. You just speak the word of God. And just, kele mashata makara desite. Speak in tongues. Speak the word of God. And in the spirit, the devil is hearing, I'd like to see how well you work in those conditions. It's the same way for the devil. He finally, after a while, goes, I can't stand it. And he flees. He flees as in terror. Hallelujah. Come on, let your siren roar, praise God. Get on your feet and give God a shout that drives the devil crazy and drives him out. Yeah.